everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory. She is the niece of slain civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr., director of civil rights for the unborn, the African-American outreach of Priests for Life, best-selling author of the popular King Rules, and America Returned to God. And now, in her latest must-read, King Truths, 21 Keys to Unlocking Your Spiritual Potential, my next guest takes us even deeper to her own remarkable story of overcoming, some of which you will hear today. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome back to Testimony, founder of Alveda King Ministries, guardian of the King legacy, and a dear and cherished friend, always an honor, Dr. Alveda C. King. Alveda, welcome back to Testimony.
You know, Jensine, it's wonderful to join you again on Testimonies. And to remember, I as you were talking, I remember the earlier days when we met, earlier in this century, of course, and it was just a remarkable time. And we were really having some challenging times then, and we knew that the world had to change or we were going to be in real trouble. And so when you opened in prayer today and you quoted that powerful scripture out of Romans, we know that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. I just took great heart from that. And it's just wonderful to share some more testimonies, some new testimonies with you today.
Well, it is great to have you. I need to say, after reading every page of your book, as the foreword from internationally acclaimed prophet Cindy Jacobs endorsed, as well as my own endorsement, I have come away, Alveda, with a newfound respect for your work, your life, life's work, and your ability to overcome life's circumstances, some of which I believe you are talking about for the first time in your latest King Truths. But before we get to all of this, in part one of our two-part conversation today, in your book, you talk about a time you're on a college campus when most thought, as a preacher's kid, you knew Jesus, you had it together, but then you were given a challenge to talk to a teacher, and you asked a question, and the rest is history. Alveda, please tell us that story.
Well, actually, that particular time period, I was no longer a student. I had accepted a job at a college, and I was a young college professor then. It was in 1983. I had been a screen actress, a state legislator, and all those things. And this was in 1983. I was about 32 years old, about to become 33. And I took a new job as a college professor, and this woman was there, and everyone told me, don't talk to her. She's a fanatic. She's a religious fanatic. And I was still just young enough in Christ to, if you told me not to do something, that's exactly what I was going to do. And so I walked up to her. She had this red case, and there appeared to be some type of book in it, and it had a big red sword on it. And I said, well, why do you carry that big case? What's in that case? And she says, the Bible. I said, the Bible. And so she looked at me and she said, Alveda, who is Jesus? And I looked at her and I remembered everything I had learned in Sunday school as a little girl. He arose from the dead and born of the Virgin Mary. So I told her all of that. And she looked at me again, and her eyes were very piercing. Alveda, who is Jesus? And then I began to tell her everything else I thought I knew about Jesus, because at that moment, Jesus was not my Lord and Savior. He was just the God of my family, the God of the preachers, and God of going to church. And so she asked me one more time. She said, Alveda, who is Jesus? And I became angry, honestly. And I remember putting my hand on my hip and spinning around. And I said, I guess he's God. And then all of a sudden, I it was like a light bulb came on. I said, no, I know he's God. She says, you're right. And so one of the scriptures she quoted to me was the one that we shared this morning, all things work together for good, Romans 10:9. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. Every question I asked her that day, she was able to answer and show me a scripture. So I was already a Christian, I guess, saved and on my way probably to heaven, maybe. But that day I became a born-again Christian in 1983. And I've been on fire for Jesus ever since, Ginseng.
Amen and amen, and that is the truth. Now, back to your book, King Truths, or a continuation of your book. Why did you write King Truths, and how exactly does it set itself apart from all your other works, or does it?
King Truths is part of a journey. I guess you could almost call it part of a trilogy. We have King Rules, of course, and then we have America Returns to God, my spiritual experiences in my life as a part of the King family, and then King Truths. However, it came to pass in this manner. In the early 1990s, I was at a prayer meeting at my church, where I've been for about 30 years or more now, Believers Bible Christian Church, and this song came to me. We were doing a prayer session, and I began to sing it out, and the prayer leader says, well, this is not a singing session, this is a praying session. So I tucked those words into my heart, like Mary pondered the message of the angel that she was going to be the mother of the Savior and all that. I pondered it. I kept the song. And then several years later, in this century, in the 21st century, I met a young man, and I spoke at a prophetic meeting, and he presented me with a prophetic painting that had keys all over it. And I said, keys song, keys painting. So I kept that a few more years. And then Charisma House publishers offered me an opportunity for a book. And we began to talk about the keys. And I said, there are keys to the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that you're desiring will be added to you. And I began to remember the keys that I had put on my key ring from childhood. Over the years, you collect keys. You collect keys. And so the master key is love, ginseng. And yet there are 21 keys on my particular key ring. And I encourage the reader, what makes the book different is not just me telling what happened to me, but giving each reader an opportunity to write his or her own testimonies. I know you'll like that part. Because they can journal and write their own testimonies and talk about their own keys. Yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. Which leads me to our next question, which you may or may not have time to answer in full, but we will pick up where we left off in our second segment. But here we go. You share the brutal reality of life's many ups and downs in your book and how you were able to overcome, some of which include, and I reiterate, 2 abortions, molestation, date rape, alcoholism, 3 marriages and divorces, and if that were not enough, the pain of losing your beloved uncle, slain civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr., and then a year later, your own father found murdered in his own swimming pool a week after walking you down the aisle, your first marriage. And Alveda, this doesn't even tell your entire story. House bombings, broken relationships, and a time when as a young woman, you might have considered ending it all, but God, a praying family, a godly pastor, and more, what could have ended your life, didn't. Why didn't it?
Well, you said something, but God, and we have another saying, won't he do it? Won't God do it? Won't God fix it? God was keeping me through every one of those steps on this journey. And I talk about it being a journey in the book and the keys to unlock doors and open opportunities and to close off some other things that need to go. And so it is the love of God, the purpose of God. There's a scripture. He says, for I know the plans I have you for you, not to hurt you, but to bless you, you see? And so God was with me through every step of this journey. And I learned from my daddy, Reverend A.B. King, my mother, Naomi King, Daddy King and Mama King, Uncle Emmel, Martin Luther King Jr. Well, love, agape love. faith. And there's the scripture that now by faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these still is love. But mighty faith works by love. So with faith and love and hope that always brings eternal in my heart, these are the steps that I have been able to take on this life's journey.
Amen and amen, and you explain that beautifully in your book. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Dr. Alveda C. King, evangelist and founder, Alveda King Ministries, and author of her latest must-read, King Truths. Alveda, in our remaining moments, talk about why knowing the love of God firsthand is key to any type of success worth achieving.
I invite people all the time. People will meet me now and they'll say, oh, you have such love. You're so sweet. I said, I'm really not. If you meet, had met Alveda, that one, she's dead now. I'm born again. This is a new one. I said, you would be very not saying these kinds of things. But it is the love of God that comes into our hearts, into our lives, and begins to spill forth when we spend time with God in prayer and worship. Just learning to find the leanings and the leadings of the Lord and walking into those. And those are the things, that's the most primary relationship that we as human beings can have, is that with God first, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then after that, we begin to work on other relationships. And as the love of God grows in our hearts, we'll find that our human relationships can be repaired. So that was just one of the major lessons that I'm just enjoying, even at 67 years old, where there was a time I might bump heads with my friends and relatives, and now I'll just say, no, I don't think I want to do that. I love you. I'll just be praying. And more I'm beginning to do that.
Yeah. Amen and amen, and you're a wonderful example of that, Alveda. You say in your book that we have no godly spiritual authority if we are not in Christ. In your book, you also give the reader a chance for scripture reflection, personal reflection, and then prayer. And we're going to get into more of that next week. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to evangelist, a best-selling author, civil rights activist, and guardian of the King legacy, Dr. Alveda C. King. Her latest must-read, King Truths, 21 Keys to Unlocking Your Spiritual Potential. You can learn more about Alveda's work, ministry, and mission by visiting alvedaking.com or civilrightsfortheunborn.org and get her book, get inspired, and get the spiritual keys you need to unlock your own destiny in life and in the Lord. Alveda, thank you for the honor of once again bringing your voice to testimony, and this time in your most revealing and intimate read to date, King Truths, sharing truths of your own life, the King family, and how you overcame to become all God intended, and beautifully so. We look forward to hearing much, much more next week. God bless you.
Thank you, dear sister in Christ.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.
Have you ever wondered what spiritual key you might be missing in bringing you to the fulfillment of your destiny? You read the Word, pray, do all the right things, love your neighbor, and yet something is missing. What could it be? Here to share the truths she found, as explained in her just released King Truths, 21 Spiritual Keys to Unlocking Your Spiritual Potential, is its author, niece of slain civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr., director of civil rights for the unborn, the African-American outreach of Priests for Life, best-selling author of the popular King Rules and America Return to God, former Georgia State Legislator, singer, songwriter, stage and screen actress, poet, and sometimes prophet, and certainly evangelist, who is a regular Fox contributor, conservative pundit, having appeared on C-SPAN, CNN, CBN, Daystar Television Networks, and Testimony. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my good friend, always an honor, and let me just add, executive producer of her soon-to-be-released movie, Roe vs. Wade. Please welcome Dr. Alveda C. King. Alveda, welcome back to Testimony.
So, Jensen, it's so wonderful to catch up, and we have known each other for a while now. And it's wonderful to see what God is doing. He's moving us all together, moving us forward as we are expanding and building the kingdom of God. And we do have keys to do that. So I'm glad to share with you today some of those keys.
Well, amen and amen. Now, last week we did attempt to cover just some of what is in your tremendous read, birthed from your many life experiences of having to overcome what could have left you in despair and defeat. But for the grace of God, a praying family, and mentors along the way, God had other things in mind. Miraculous at times, hard fought, but in the end, a glory to Him, as we will now further explore. For starters, of the 21 spiritual keys you mention in your book, Alveda, what one key means the most to you and why?
I'm very excited always about the master key. And you know, on a key ring, you can have several keys, but if you run an organization or a building or a church, or you have a home that needs several different keys for different things, but there's one key that can open every lock in that building, in that place, or in that house. And for me, the master key is love, agape love, God's love. Interestingly, Jensen, and I won't take the long version of how it happened, but I received a song called The Keys Song in the 90s. And in the beginning of the 21st century, someone presented me with a prophetic painting with keys. And then I had the opportunity through my publisher, Charisma House, to write this book. And so I just began to understand, God, what is this? You want me to know more about the keys of the kingdom. And Jesus taught us with these keys, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever is loose on earth is loose in heaven. So I began to correlate the lesson or the parable of the keys with our life experiences. And the master key, to answer your question, agape love, is the key. Now, we now abide faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. But even mighty faith works by love. Hope springs eternal, but it must be nourished by love. So it's, we mean God's love, the love of God that's unconditional, that gave us John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on Jesus will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And 17, for God didn't send his son Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Jesus can be saved. And so salvation, actually divine salvation, is a key in the book, by the way. So we speak through the testimonies, key by key, I unveil my process, but then uniquely, I believe, I give the reader an opportunity to think about his or her life experiences and to start building his or her key ring as well.
Amen and amen. Well said. Some of the keys that you mentioned in your book, I'd like to share with our listeners now. One that you've already mentioned, divine love, the master key, divine salvation, divine forgiveness, divine authority, divine grace and mercy, divine humility, just to mention a few. Alveda, where do you feel most Christians may be missing it in their own spiritual life and keys?
I'm glad you mentioned the key of humility. And it's in that same corridor with obedience, submission, and surrender. But you can't do any of those without divine humility. And so, in other words, you know that scripture where there's envy, strife, there's confusion, and every evil work?
Mm-hmm.
Well, people will get into all types of arguments. We've seen it in our own nation, in politics, and places like that. Because I'm right, and you're wrong, and until you see it my way, we're not going to be able to do this. And yet, humility says, wait a minute, let me be quiet. Let me give you an opportunity to express. And you see, so if we have that divine humility, and then moving out of humility into obedience to the word of God and to proper authority. And we can find out about that in submitting to laws in the government and all that, say in Romans 13, which we discuss in the book. But if we can become humble, obey God first, and then obey righteous authority, and then submit to that authority. And I had a pretty good time. I think I mentioned this in the book. I hope I did. When the first time I married, I didn't understand any of this. So I think I crossed my fingers behind my back. My granddad was doing the marriage vows, and I crossed my fingers. I said, obey. Why do I have to obey him? Man, you could imagine how rocky the marriage was with that attitude. You have to submit to each other, submit to God, and submit to each other. And then the hardest thing that any human being has is fully surrendering to another person. But you see, we can fully surrender to God because he has our best interest in heart. I know the things I prepared for you, plans I have for you, not to hurt you, but to bless you and to prosper you. However, we have to remember that God is not a man or a woman. God can't lie. God is a spirit manifesting to us in things as Father. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And so except for the atheist, everybody else pretty much admits that there's somebody greater who created us. The atheist hadn't quite figured that out, but everybody else gets that. And so since we have a divine creator, and we're going to have to go to court one day, so people like Oprah and all that, well, there are many paths to God. Everybody's going to meet God. Of course, that's true. You're going to meet God. But the benefit that we have to the Father, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, says Jesus. No one comes to the Father except by me. So God, the Spirit, who manifests as a Father, who we can trust and fully surrender to, that's who we're going to see on Judgment Day. And I don't know about you, Justine, but since we have to go to court, isn't it great for the judge to be our Father?
Amen and amen. There are some people I'm glad they are not God, aren't you?
Oh, my goodness. We'd be in real trouble, including you and me, because they would never make it. I can promise you that.
That's right. That's right. Now, you're a pro-life activist. You're a civil rights activist. You know this better than most. In dealing with race relations and in reading the Bible, isn't this really a, quote, sin issue and not a race issue? And if those listening to this question do not have the Word of God as their plumb line, Alveda, what hope is there really?
There is no hope except in God, in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we have to be able to admit, like I have, in a transparent manner, which is really not so comfortable because just air all my laundry, except at the end of that story, I'm redeemed, I'm forgiven, I'm whole, I'm blessed. And so with that type of testimony, no matter what I've done, no matter what you have done, listeners, God will forgive you. And so because that is true, it's our great hope that at the end of the tunnel, there is a blessing for each and every one of us. And that's at the end of the door. When those doors are unlocked with those keys, Jesus is on the other side always, you know? And so we have to get there and to share that and to model that as people who have been blessed. Not perfect, but blessed. And that's who and exactly what I am. Like the woman at the well, the woman caught in the act, I say about those testimonies. What beautiful testimonies. And they're there to show the grace and the mercy of the Lord.
Amen and amen. Now, you are a spoken advocate for our current president, Donald J. Trump. What convinced you to fully support him when in the past you were not endorsing political candidates? Can you explain?
I did not even endorse the president. I became his spiritual advisor with the Trump Diversity Coalition because I don't endorse candidates. The last candidate I endorsed was Governor Sam Brownback around 2007. He was going to run against President Barack Obama. And he stepped out of the race, and I was about to endorse Governor Huckabee. And God said, stop endorsing and start praying. So I've not endorsed a candidate since 2007, but I have publicly stated that I was going to vote for President Trump, which I did. I was first on board with Dr. Ben Carson, who is now Secretary of HHS, Secretary Carson. And as soon as he supported the president, then I joined, and with many others. And so what convinced me, I was listening. And so the very first thing he said, you know, ripping little babies apart in the womb, that's wrong. And I had already repented for my secret abortions and been healed. I agreed with that. That just made so much sense to me. And then they asked him about racism. He says, well, if everybody has a decent place to stay, a job, security, and an opportunity to explore their better selves, then people won't fight. So he wasn't looking at skin color. Not that he was colorblind, because colorblind means you need glasses. If you blindness is a medical condition, you don't want to be blind. You want to see the gift of ethnicity. But you want to recognize people as Acts 17:26, of one blood, God made all people, so we are one race. So I understood that he understood that. And then when he said, we're going to bring all the jobs back, I said, my God, that's marvelous, because people need to go to work. We can't work if all the jobs are overseas. And so one by one, from the day he was elected, he has been keeping all of those promises. So I removed my emotions from the equation, listened to what he said he was going to do, asked God to help him do that should he be elected. And that's how I continue my support. And I'm very pleased with his report card. He gets an A-plus from me.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to evangelist, best-selling author, civil rights activist, and guardian of the King legacy, Dr. Alveda C. King. Her latest must-read, King Truths, 21 Keys to Unlocking Your Spiritual Potential. You can learn more about Alveda's work, ministry, and mission by visiting alvedaking.com or civilrightsfortheunborn.org and get her book, King Truths. You will be blessed. You did. Alveda, thank you for sharing your life, your ministry, your mission, your music, and so much more through your latest King Truths, an authentic and transparent look at what God can do with a life surrendered as you have surrendered yours, from the depths of despair to the rose garden of the White House, in victory, in peace, in joy, and in love. You show us how. We thank you, and God bless you.
Praise God.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.